How do you decide the will of God? In the gray areas. Now, we're going to look at that. And, you know, we're going to look at a lot of things. I'm going to break that down into two categories. Because, again, some of the big issues that we struggle with today, right? Should I wear a mask? Or shouldn't I wear a mask? Should I get vaccinated? Or should I not get vaccinated? Should I be a Republican? Or should I be a Democrat? Right? I mean, these are things that that people struggle with today. And so we're going to talk about the will of God and see how do we apply seeking and searching for God's will to these things.
The teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 2, from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 2.
But that's a question that, you know, you begin to grapple with, right? And when you do it, you want to do it because this is what God wants for you. And so God will clearly show you what to do. So these are some of the things that we ask as we seek his will. Now, there are some radical paradigms that people use for deciding God's relative will. I broke them down into two categories, right? There's absolute fatalism and there's absolute freedom. Absolute fatalism and absolute freedom. Absolute fatalism says that God predestines and controls every aspect of your life, and you are powerless to do anything about it, right? That's absolute fatalism, that there's nothing I can do about it, right? God is going to control it. God is going to take care of my life, and so I might as well just throw my hands high in the air and party hardy like I just don't care, right? All right? But then there's the other extreme, which says that God has no will for your life, and you decide what his will is. So you know what, saints? Now, we have to find a balance somewhere in between there. So that's what we're going to try to do this morning. You know, it reminds me of the Calvinists, you know, who believe that God, you know, predestines and controls everything, and the Arminianists that believes that we have free will to do anything. And the Calvinist was walking down a set of stairs and tripped and fell and broke his arm. And he said, "Man, I'm glad that that's over." Some of y'all got that. The Arminius came to the steps and said, "It's not my will to go down the steps, so I'll travel another road." Right? So you see the two extremes there. And so we want to reach that extreme in between. I like what David Jeremiah says. David Jeremiah says this. He says, "A willing heart is the first step in finding God's will in our lives." A willing heart, that you have to have a willing heart. Remember last week I said there's one or two prayers that you can pray. It's either, "Father, thy will be done," or, "Father, my will be done." What's your prayer? "Thy will be done," or, "My will be done." David Jeremiah says that the first thing, the first step in finding God's will is that you have a willing heart. We cannot expect God to force us or plead with us about the calling on our lives. A willing heart. If you want to know God's will for your life, you have to have a willing heart. And when it comes to finding God's will, you have to be careful that you're not led by Satan. And so there are some ways, and again, that we can understand whether it's God that's leading us or if it's Satan. God leads us to his will. Satan pushes us to his will. You know, you see this a lot, right, in people that are in relationships that God does not want them in that relationship. God does not want them in that relationship. And Satan keeps what? Pushing them into the relationship. You know, there's no leading. You know, some people, if you ask, well, did God lead you in that relationship? Well, I don't know if he did or not. Did God lead you? I really don't know if he did. Well, if you don't know if God led you in this relationship, then it's probably Satan pushing you. God enlightens. The devil confuses. That if you are doing something that's in the will of God, God is going, God is going to give you light. And as you follow that light, God gives you more light. But if it's not God's will, man, you're going to be scratching your head. You're going to be confused. And so sometimes we need to stop and see whether we are being enlightened or we are leading down, being led down the road to more confusion. God steals. God says, you know, the person that's trusting in God, the person says, you know, God got this. You know, I'm not rushing. You know, why do I need to rush? You know, there are sometimes we need to expedite some things, but for the most part, yeah, if God is leading us, that he's going to still us. He's going to calm us. But what does Satan do? Satan rushes us. Hurry up, hurry. You got to make a decision. And then Satan stresses you as you deal with these things. So let's unpack this today. How do I decide God's relative will for my life? The first thing you got to do, if you are going to know God's will for your life, who you should marry, where you should go to school, whether or not you should do this or that, the first thing that you got to do, you got to cry out to God in prayer. You got to cry out to God in prayer. In Psalm 31, verse 3, the psalmist says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake," what did he say? "Lead me and guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord. Lead me." You got to cry out to God in prayer. You know, I love what the message says of Psalm 31, verse 3. Listen to this. The message says, "Be my safe leader." Listen to this. "Be my true mountain guide." My true mountain guide. As we go through life, God's will is like traveling through a mountain. And as we travel through the mountain, there are peaks, and there are crevices, and there are dark places, and there are slippery places. And so we pray, "God, I don't know what your will is, Lord, but you know what it is. Lord, be my mountain guide. Guide me through this will, the will to your will in my life." Are you praying? Are you praying about the will of God? We need a mountain guide. The psalmist said, "I lift my eyes unto the hills." Now, we've traditionally been taught that the hills are the blessing, right? I lift my eyes to the hills. Yeah. But if you go back and look at the psalm in its context, the hills are the problem. The hills are not where the answer is. The hills are the problem. It's Psalm 121. It's the traveler's song. "Lord, I'm getting ready to go on a trip. As I go on the trip, I look up and there's mountains. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Look, I need somebody to help me through these mountains. I lift my eyes to the hills." And then go back and read it. He says, "Where does my help come from?" He's scratching his head. Where does my help come from? "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." The Lord is going to guide me through these mountains as I seek to know his will? Number one, cry out to the Lord in prayer. Number two, how do you decide God's relative will for your life? You've got to delight yourself in the Word of God. You've got to delight yourself in the Word of God. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree praying about the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. You know why you should be in the Word of God when you are trying to find the will of God? It's because the Word of God prepares the soil of your heart. The Word of God prepares the soil of your heart to receive the will of God. Right? Reading the Word of God, it's like putting fertilizer in the ground. It's making the ground rich. It's making the ground fertile so that when God reveals his will, that when God plants his will, that you know that it's God's will because your heart has been fertilized by the Word of God. And you know, a lot of people are trying to make decisions and they're not in the Word of God. You know what? I'll be honest with you. If I had to make a major decision in my life, I wouldn't make it if I wasn't in God's Word. I would not make it because it goes back to the graphic that I showed you earlier. Is it God leading you or is it Satan pushing you? And so many people are making decisions and their heart has not been fertilized by the Word of God. That if you want to know the will of God, it says that in his delight is in the instruction of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. Now, I'm not trying to get you a Bible, get you to be a Bible freak or Bible fanatic, but I'm going to say this, that we should try to, as much as possible, expose our souls to the Word of God. So that means that, you know, when you get up in the morning and you spend time with God, that means that, you know, throughout the day, maybe you should, and we got what, my brother, we got radio programs, right? There's good radio programs that you can listen to throughout the day that exposes the Word of God. If I was trying to seek the will of God, I would put myself, I am trying to seek the will of God, you know, I would just saturate my soul in the Word of God. You know, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that God is going to bring you to a place of prosperity. But what is the prerequisite of that? The prerequisite is that you have to delight in his Word. You have to be in his Word day and night, night and day. Just like the cow, right? Ruminating, taking that Word, chewing it, swallowing it, bringing it back up, chewing it, getting all the nutrients out of it, taking it down, bringing it back up again. And all that cow has is a cud. You need to get some cud of the Word of God and chew on that Word of God. Get all the nutrients out of it so that it's fertilizing your soul so that you are a receptor to receive the Word of God. How do I decide God's relative will? Cry out to the Lord in prayer. Delight yourself in the Word of God. And then seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. Listen to advice. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. I'm teaching to somebody this morning. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I would not seek to listen to anybody that would not lead me or counsel me to the purposes of God. And you know, there's a lot of well-meaning people that will tell you stuff. But it don't lead to the purposes of God. They will tell you stuff. Now, let me give you a perfect example. I know I may offend somebody as I share this. But you know what? Sometimes, and I think for the most part, parents give good advice. I'm saying that. Parents give good advice. And they have your best interests at heart. But sometimes I think parents give terrible advice. And one of the ways they give terrible advice is that they tell their children, especially as they grow and go to high school, college, that you need to get an education so you can go make a lot of money. That's the worst advice you can give somebody. But yes, yet and still, I hear parents telling their kids that all the time. That's bad advice. You should go get an education so that you can fulfill the purposes of God in your life. And the purposes of God in your life might lead you to make some big jack, right? Big jack, get big pig check, right? That might be the case. But let me read this verse again. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. If you want to counsel somebody, if you want to give somebody wise advice, you got to lead them to the Lord's purpose. That's got to be first and foremost. What is the Lord's purpose as I counsel you? And so seek godly advice. Next, let the peace of God guide your heart. How do you decide God's relative will for your life? Let the peace of God guide your heart. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I heard one of the great Bible commentators talk about this verse and said that the peace of God is like a referee. And a referee during a basketball game, that as long as the game is flowing and there's no fouls being committed, there's no one in violation of any of the rules, the game just goes on. They just run up and down the court. There's a peace, right, in the flow of the game, a peace that just flows back and forth. Now, all of a sudden, somebody commits a foul. What does a referee do? Blows a whistle, stops the game. The peace of the game has been disrupted. And so now you got to begin to deal with, why is my peace disturbed? So let me give you this illustration. Before I came to Bethany, I had three opportunities. I had the opportunity to go to Indiana and be the president of a Bible institute. I was a football coach, and so I had an opportunity to go to Western Illinois and continue football coaching. Or I had the opportunity to come to Bethany Baptist Church and be the pastor. So as my wife and I prayed about it, you know, it seemed like the Lord was saying, as far as going to Indianapolis, the Lord said, "Brrr!" There was no peace. The game had stopped there, right? As far as going to Western Illinois and being a football coach, "Brrr!" The peace was disturbed. As far as coming to Bethany Baptist Church, I didn't hear a whistle. So I said, let me pursue this. And as I pursued it, now y'all that was here, right, before I became pastor, why y'all take so long? Why y'all take so long? Me and my wife sitting down in Lynchburg, Virginia with, four kids at the time, Angie? We have four kids. We sitting down in Lynchburg, Virginia, waiting on Bethany Baptist Church, right? But the whistle didn't blow. I mean, I still had that peace flowing. And I said, okay, Lord, now, if I'm not supposed to be there, watch this. At some point, you're going to blow the whistle, and I'm going to know that the peace is disturbed. And so I have to see what other direction you lead. So finally, Bethany went ahead and submitted to God. No, just kidding. and I got the call to come the first Sunday in July of 1990 and be the pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. And that was 31 years ago. So we thank God for the fruitful relationship that has taken place. And I'm grateful to the Lord. Amen. Grateful to my wife. Grateful to Bethany for the marriage and the fruit that has been birthed. But it came out of having the peace. That if there's something that God does not want you to do, that more than likely, Paul says that it's the peace of God and it passes all understanding and it's going to guard your heart and mind. And notice what he said even before that. He said, don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But what? In prayer. That's the first thing we talked about. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The peace of God. And then finally, how do you decide God's relative will for your life? And that is, be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, but when the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Now, I believe that this verse primarily is talking about doctrinal truth. So I'll say that first and foremost, doctrinal truth. But I believe that we can make a secondary application, and that secondary application is the truth for your life, what God has for your life, that you have to lean on the Holy Spirit, that you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and as you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit will guide you into where you are supposed to be. I want to close by quoting the words of this song. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchor Time for the First. You decide the will of God in gray areas from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 2, from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our site, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.